Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Turn our hearts and minds to pursue the things of the kingdom. Help us see the value of building treasure in heaven, so our hearts will not long for more abundance of possessions, but would rather long for more of you, the Lord, Savior, and King. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. There is a crowd. A crowd. A crowd of many thousands. Yes, many thousands. Rushing, pushing, shoving. Like shoppers grabbing for Cabbage Patch dolls, if you remember. Or Tickle Me Elbow. Or Furby. Or even PlayStation 3 of years past. Pushing and shoving. Now, this crowd is not trying to get something, but they're trying to be near. Near enough to hear something. To hear something from Jesus. Yes, the people were rushing to hear Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples by saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. First, Jesus is teaching the disciples, but then the others come close to hear, and the crowd grows and grows and grows, grows in pushing and shoving, jostling. They want to be near to hear. And Jesus warns about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Talking about them in the previous chapter, Luke records that the Pharisees were careful to tithe their mint and their other herbs, but they neglected justice and mercy, the greater things. The Pharisees loved the most important seats and so forth. Don't be like them. Instead, fear God, have reverence, honor to treat with all that reverential obedience to the living God. Jesus says, have that. Fear God. For those who can kill, the body can do no more. But God is, as Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 12, but God has the authority, God has the power to cast into hell. Fear him, Jesus tells the people. I tell you, fear him. That is what Jesus said. Fear God, for God can cast you into hell. But don't stop there. Listen to Jesus. He talks about sparrows, which are sold very cheaply, and God does not forget them. God even numbers the hair on your head. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. On the one hand, fear God. On the other hand, do not fear God, for God values you. Even knows the number of hairs on your head. Therefore, speak of Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. Acknowledge Jesus as the Son of Man before other people. For the Messiah, Jesus, will acknowledge you before God. That is wonderful. And it is amazing. The Son of God will say, that one I know. That one I have redeemed. And before the God who has the authority to cast into hell, the Son of Man, the Messiah, Jesus will say, that one is mine. I have redeemed her. I have saved and washed that child with my precious blood. All the more reason to show others that you are a Christian. And in the middle of this teaching, a voice from the crowd rises up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." While Jesus was teaching about heaven and hell, fearing God and be a witness to Jesus as the Messiah, a person calls out and wants to talk about earthly possessions. A person calls out and it's like this, "Jesus, I need you to get my brother to give me my fair share." Fair share, it's more likely, give me what I want until I'm satisfied. "Jesus, I need you to get my brother to give me everything I want my brother to give me." A mind that was not heavenly minded, but breaking the commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." A mind and a heart so set on the stuff of the earth that he could not hear of heaven or heed the warning of hell. "Jesus, be judge. Give me my stuff from my brother." And Jesus answers, "Who appointed me to arbitrate?" Watch out. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "Then he said to them," Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Luke chapter 12, verse 15 is the basis of the parable Jesus tells, the parable of the rich fool. The basis is, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The dividing of possessions, of inheritance, was a huge deal back then in Israel. And it's a huge deal to this day. The number of family fights that start over the inheritance, contesting wills. If you are ever in this situation, take heart. Take to heart what the Word of God says here. Jesus is teaching in the parable of the rich fool. We do like to keep up with the Joneses. Shopping with my daughters, I often hear, "I want this." And then walking down another aisle, first couple of times I just ignore, but walking down another aisle, "I want this, I have to have it all." And you know how the pleading and begging goes. And we go down another aisle and soon it's, "I want this." Each aisle sort of brought a new, "I want this." Isn't it amazing how quickly a child's mind moves from one want to another want? I mean, very quickly, just turn the corner of the aisle. Eventually, I answer back, "The sooner you learn you do not get everything you want, the happier you will be." The man, wanting his inheritance, calling out while Jesus was teaching about heaven and hell, it showed the heart of the man. Jesus knew the true nature of this man's heart. It was covetousness. It was greed. It was desire for more. Jesus grounds his warning on this truth. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And so a parable to teach. A rich man is blessed. It's with huge crops. No place to store the huge harvest. Answer, build a bigger barn. That is what I'll do. Tear down what I have and build bigger. Sort of like an early edition of Extreme Home Makeover. Tear it down, build a new home. New home, new life, set for many years. Not so fast. Extreme Home Makeover has actually turned into financial nightmares and disasters for many. The property taxes skyrocketed. Family problems that were there before were there after getting the keys to the new house. And then that show became one more one-upmanship, became so ingrained in the show, the next build is even more extreme. Perhaps they should have paid attention to this parable that Jesus was teaching. Tear down my old barns and build bigger new ones. I'll have plenty of storage space for years to come to lay back, relax, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. That is what the farmer planned. But God had other plans. You fool. Can you imagine those two words just echoing through the crowd? You fool. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Just get this in your imagination. Jesus is building up this rich man with a huge crop. I'm going to build bigger barns. And all the crowd's going, "I want that for myself." Sort of leading them on. It's like that prosperity gospel, wooing their ears and getting their eyes set on dollar signs and having plenty to take life easy. And then breaking into that daydream. Shattering that daydream is that word, "But God, you fool." Heed the warning yourself in Luke chapter 12, verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Are you storing up for yourself? Are you thinking more of your future than being rich towards God? Howard Hughes had a huge fortune, and he died a miserable old recluse. Celebrities with fame and fortune overdosing and dying at a young age. Are you storing up for yourself, or will you be rich towards God? Jesus then teaches about the ravens and the lilies and the things of nature and how God takes care of them. Then Jesus states, and this is in the scripture, Jesus states that you are of so much more value to God than all of them. You are made in the image of God. Your worry can't add an hour to your life, so why worry at all? Instead, have faith. Trust the Lord God. Don't run after the things of this world like the pagans run after things of this world. All those people around you, what they're running after. Your Father knows your needs. Seek His kingdom. And these things, these needs, they will be given to you. Is your treasure in heaven? Do your plans for your future focus on yourself? For those who are planning your retirement, this parable leads you, I hope, to encourage you for serious reflection. In retirement, are you looking forward to the time and the resources to be all your own, to do what you want when you want? Or are you looking forward to being able to dedicate that new free time and those resources to God? Everyone here and all who are listening, do you focus on the Lord your God? Doing the things of God, providing the resources for God's life-transforming gospel to be spread across the world. We heard in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." There is such little time to make a difference for Jesus Christ through the resources God has entrusted to you. You are a steward of God's riches. How you use material wealth to spread and build the kingdom of God, meet the needs of the lost, the broken and forsaken, that is the way you become rich towards God. How we use and how we deal with money and possessions, it's a clear reflection of our heart. And it's a big deal to God. Think about it. How much does money and possessions consume your daily thoughts? How do you feel when God says, don't be a fool, but be rich towards God? The fact is, you can't take your possessions with you. As Job said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Or on Ash Wednesday, as that ash cross is drawn on your forehead, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And material possessions, they don't last. They grow old, they wear out, they can be lost, they can be stolen. Nothing lasts forever except the soul. How is your soul? Are you rich towards God? Don't think of only the physical, think of the spiritual. Don't think so much about this moment that you forget about eternity. R.G. Letourneau, he was an inventor, businessman, and entrepreneur, a sixth grade dropout. And he went on to designing and patenting earth-moving machinery. He became fabulously wealthy, and he was rich towards God. Through the years, growing and growing, his generosity towards God was huge because God had redeemed his soul. In 1935, his profits were pouring in. And at the suggestion of his wife, Evelyn, they transitioned their giving. They were very generous up to that time. Very generous. But now they resolved to live on 10% and give 90% to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Letourneau was fond of remarking, it's not how much of my money I give to God, but how much of God's money I keep for myself. He also known to said, the more I shovel out, the more God just shovels back, because God has a bigger shovel. But generosity. We are blessed to be a blessing in the lives of others. And we are blessed to be the instruments that God uses to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives, redeems the heart, saves the soul. Write these proverbs down. If you got a pencil handy, pen handy, write it in your bulletin and take your bulletin home with you today. Don't put it back there. Take it home with you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Look it up this week. Think about it many different times this week. Proverbs 11, verse 24. I'm going to read it in a moment. And the other one is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Write those down in your bulletin. Even write it on your hand so you take it with you. Proverbs 11, 24. And Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. This is what Proverbs 11, 24 says. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. That's Proverbs 11, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to so to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You see, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Well, if one's life does not consist in possessions, what does one's life consist in? And the answer is Jesus Christ and the redeeming power of the blood shed on the cross for your sin. You can be greedy and try to accumulate the most for yourself, but it will be all gone as you go into the grave and return to the dust you came from. Or you can turn to the cross of Christ, be redeemed by grace, forgiven all your sins, given a new heart and a new mind. Then when the time of the grave comes closer, your joy will grow, your peace will be all-encompassing. For you will know that Jesus will acknowledge you before God because you lived a life acknowledging Jesus before others. Your kindness, your compassion, your generosity all reflect Christ Jesus living in your heart. God's grace has worked in you, and you are determined that that very same grace that saved and redeemed your life will save and redeem another person's life. Which will it be for you? That's what this parable of the rich fool is really trying to draw out. Which will it be for you? Greed and the grave, or the cross and grace? The words, "You fool," or the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from the parable of the talents. Think in terms of eternity. Live with an eye set to eternity. Build up treasure in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God. So I close with Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The words of the Lord for us. Amen and amen.